Chapter 3. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word. Verse 16. Just going to read a couple of verses and tell you a little bit about one of my favorite Bible stories. Amen. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for being so good. We thank you. The sweet spirit that's been here already in this service, God. Pray, God, that it will continue, God. I pray, God, that you'll, Lord, bless your word, God, as we try to learn from it and teach from it, God. Lord, just be in this service. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our lesson today talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story is commonly known as the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's not even their real name. Just to set it up, I got to get you to where we're at. In Daniel chapter 1, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar overtakes Judah. And so the nation of Judah, God's people, are now taken into captivity. And they've taken all the smartest, the brightest, the strongest, the most handsome to be part of the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if we were in Sunday school, I'd talk about right now how he wouldn't have taken Josh or Chucky, you know, because the smartest, the brightest. But we're not in Sunday school, so we'll just keep going. And anyway, they took Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But the first thing they did was change their names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because the king took everything from them as he put them in this three-year program to serve in his court and to be able to help him rule. Because at this time, Babylon was the strongest nation of the known world. They had conquered all their enemies. They were huge, and so they had a big government. Nebuchadnezzar was crazy. He was a nut. He was a psychopath. He did crazy things. But if you study Daniel, he may be in heaven one day because he may have converted there towards the end. He's not today in chapter 3, but he's going to see some stuff that's going to make him think. So anyway, Daniel in chapter 1, when they get all these young men to where they're going to be in Babylon, they're going to feed them of the king's table and fatten them up, and they're going to treat them really well because they want them to, you know, help rule and help advise. But Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, we're not going to eat of the king's table because the food there has been sacrificed to idols, and that's against our religion. And these men followed Jehovah God, and they obeyed, and so they were able to work it out where they didn't, and God prospered them anyway. And then in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He wants all of his wise men to tell him the dream and interpret it. They said, how can we interpret it if we don't even know what it is? He said, well, that's you got to know what it is. If you don't, I'm going to have you all put to death. Word got to Daniel about it, and he went and called in Meshach and Abednego, and they prayed, and he went and told Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I can tell you your dream and tell you what it means. And he did, and it was a great statue, and it was a prophecy about all the nations that were coming after Babylon. And then a few years pass, and we get to chapter 3. Two or three years have probably passed when we get to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar has the great idea, as he thought, to build this giant statue. It was 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide about, which is very tall. And it was a man. It was probably himself. It was gold. It was probably wood covered in gold. And it was probably not, it probably had a base. They have found, archaeologists have found a base in this area where this would have been that they think may have been the base that held this tower that at the top had this man. And Nebuchadnezzar set a decree that anytime you hear the musicians play, and he names all the instruments, it's pipe instruments, it's wind instruments, and string instruments, that you bow down and worship this statue. And he's called in all the leaders, all the government officials, because I forgot to tell you in chapter 2, after Daniel interprets his dream, Daniel gets made pretty much prime minister of Babylon. It's Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, and then he takes care of his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They bring them in, and they're kind of over the province of Babylon too. They're in the government. And all the government officials are called to this unveiling of this statue, and all the people. And it's a big deal. And it's mainly about pride. And it's Nebuchadnezzar patting himself on the back. And it's pretty much him trying to make himself a god. So because he wants people to worship this statue, worship this idol, and through that, they will be worshiping him and the government that he's created. And so the day comes when it's time to have the unveiling. You know, they're going to pull the sheet off the statue, and everybody, they're going to play the music, and everybody's got to bow down. Now, I want you to think about a few things as we go through this story. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those were not the only four Jewish boys. They were probably in their teens, early 20s when they got taken. Now they're in their late teens or early 20s. They were not the only ones taken from Judah. They were not the only Jewish young men that were taken. But in this story, Daniel's not mentioned at all in chapter 3. We have to assume that he's away on state business because he's prime minister of Babylon. And we know already from Daniel's testimony, he would not have bowed either had he been there. And if you read Daniel, he would not have bowed. But it doesn't mention him. It just mentions Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the day comes. They play the music. Everybody bows except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not the only Jews there. But apparently all the rest of them bowed too. Decisions come from two things. External pressure or internal principle. And in the moment of bowing down and worshiping the idol, it's too late to decide who you are then. You've got to know beforehand. We already knew the character of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from chapter 1 when they refused to eat the king's meat. We already know their hearts and how they stand. So everybody bows down to this idol. Everybody worships this idol except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This idol's so tall, and it's in the land of Dura, which is this flat area, which means you've seen it for miles and miles. Just for reference, I think one of the tallest buildings in Lancaster is the hospital. I think it's eight stories. So this statue would have been taller than the hospital. It would have been more like 9 stories. So you could have seen it for miles and miles. They play the music, everybody bows. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't bow. And Nebuchadnezzar had already made a decree that when I play the music and it's time to bow, if you don't bow, you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. And so it wasn't like, hey, you just decide. You know, you got choices. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there were things they could have done. They might could have stayed inside that day and not come out. They might could have said, you know what, I'm going to bow, but I'm going to just be down, but I'm not bowing to that shit. I'm just bowing down just because I don't want to die. You know, I heard a story about a little girl. She was in the back seat, kept getting out of her car seat. The mom kept saying, you get in your seat now. You get in your seat. And she finally got in her seat, and she's sitting there and had her arms crossed. And her mom said, you all right? She said, I want you to know I'm standing in my heart. You know? The three Hebrew children could have bowed down and said, Lord, you know I'm standing in my heart. I just don't want to die, you know. I would imagine that none of us have been faced with death like a gun to our head. Most of us. Some of you may have, but most of us have not. And so you don't know what you would do in that moment. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already decided who they were. Amen. It was already in them who they were. And so they did not bow. Well, then the Chaldeans, who were some more of the officials in Nebuchadnezzar's court, they come to Nebuchadnezzar. They were like the tattletales, you know, them ones at work always trying to get you in trouble. because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were above them. You know, before Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got there, these guys were probably a little closer to Nebuchadnezzar. But after Daniel interpreted the dream and he promoted Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that put them a notch above these Chaldeans, and so now they're jealous. So, you know, when you go above people at work, a lot of times they always looking for something to get you on, to knock you down. And so the Chaldeans went to Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, those Jews, you know, those lowly Jews that you put over us, they didn't bow. When you played the music, they didn't bow. And they reminded him. They said, hey, you know that you said if they nobody bows, that you're going to throw them into a fiery furnace. And they didn't bow. And Nebuchadnezzar got mad, which was common for him. He was. I told you before, he was nuts. He called him. He said, go get them and bring them to me. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he must have liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because he didn't throw them into the fiery furnace. He said, boys, I know you made a mistake, and I'm sure it's probably some kind of misunderstanding. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the music again, which was uncommon for Nebuchadnezzar. And normally, if you didn't do what he said, he'd just kill you or have somebody kill you. He said, but boys, we're going to do something. We're going to play the music again, and we're going to give you a chance to bow down to this golden image so that you don't get thrown in the fiery furnace, because obviously he really didn't want to throw them in the fiery furnace because he's giving them a second chance. And that's how we get to verse 16. And they've gone over this. This is in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And the message title, by the way, if I have one, is Faith and Fire. And they've got a chance here, another chance where they're going to play the music and they could bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar's laid it all out to them. And he also questions them in verse 15 at the end of it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read 15 too. Because you can't read too much Bible. I'm just telling you. Verse 15. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know, who is that God that you put in your faith in? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What that means is, king, we don't even have to think about it. We don't have to have a meeting. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to call a counselor. We don't have to call somebody we trust. We're not careful in answering this. We already have our answer. We had it the first time you played the music. And here's what it is. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I want you to see something what they had faith in. He said, our God is able. Their faith was not in the outcome that they were desiring. The outcome they was desiring, as anybody would, is to not be thrown into a fiery furnace. But they said, king, just so you know, our God, without a doubt, is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. You need to know that whatever situation you're in, whatever furnace awaits you, that your God is able to deliver you out of it. And your faith can't be in your will. We talked a little bit in Sunday school about God, your will be done, and our will be done. We need to pray, God, your will be done. You know, because our will is usually wrong most of the time. I know mine is. And so he said, our God is able. Our God is, he can't. He said, and king, either way, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. Whatever happens, he's able to keep us out of the fire. But either way, whatever happens, he's going to deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, if he don't deliver us out of the fire, if we still have to go to the furnace, if we still end up with a bad diagnosis from the doctor, if we still end up losing someone we love, if it don't go my way, I know God can. I want him to do this. The plan is this. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had already decided, we're going to stand on principle regardless of what the outcome is. And so they tell the king, we're not going to bow down, and our God's going to deliver us. But even if he don't, and we get thrown in the furnace, we are not bowing down. So here, so we're getting low on time, I'm going to tell you what happens next. The king loses his mind. It says his face is even changed because he's so angry. He tells his men to heat the fire 7 times hotter. And if you want, this is, he done got mad. If you want somebody to suffer, you make it lower. You know, you throw them in there and let them burn slower. But he heated it up 7 times hotter. And this furnace must have been some kind of pit that was dug with a way for air to go in and the king could see in. It was probably above ground with stairs going up where they had to throw them off. And the king had a window that he could look in and see the flames. And so the king gets his strongest soldiers, not the Josh Chucky soldiers, the strong soldiers. He gets his strongest soldiers to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They still got all their clothes on, their good clothes. They wore their Sunday's best to the meeting today. They take them up, they throw them in. The fire's so hot, the soldiers die. You know the story, the soldiers die. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego land in the flames. And it's a furnace. It ain't like a campfire. No, it's a furnace. It's hot. I used to work at ALVAC, ATI, and we had furnaces that got up to over 2,000 degrees, and you'd have to reach in with these tongs and pull out these hot bars. And, man, it was terrible. Sometimes you couldn't even get close to them. You had tongs long as from here to the wall to reach in and pull out them hot bars. And Skip knows. I see Sandy looking at Skip. He knows about them furnaces. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's looking in the furnace because he wants to watch them burn because they were defiant to his rule. And he looks in. And he sees something. He sees 4 men up loose, walking around. They're not even trying to get out. They're not excited. They're not running. They're not screaming. They're not burning. They are in the fire. And he says, he looks at his wise men and say, did we not throw 3 men in the fire? Because I'm looking in and I see 4. And they're up and they're walking around. And the 4th looks like the Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know? And so here's something I want you to see. I was talking to a preacher friend about this Friday. He knew I was speaking today, and he asked me what I was talking about. He said, hey, did you ever think about this? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire, the Lord didn't come later. He was in the fire already, waiting for them. Listen, you're not going to get out of this life without being in fires. You're not going to get out of this life without sometimes going in a fiery furnace. Sometimes, not sometimes, all the time. It's God's will that you're there. It's with purpose. But you need to know that when you land on your feet in the fire, Jesus is right there waiting for you. And even though you in the fire, he can make it where you don't burn. He can make it where you don't get singed. He can make it where you don't even smell like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar gets as close to the door as he can. He's looking in and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of the fire. And they come walking out. And they don't smell like smoke. Their clothes aren't singed. Their hair's not singed. The only thing that burned off of them was the ropes that was holding them down. Sometimes God will throw you in a fire so we can burn them chains off of you. You know? And look, I said all that to say this. We all go through troubles. We all go through trials. And them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm telling you, we read that story and we read it like it's a Disney movie, like these are animation characters and they're not real. These were 3 real men that were facing a real fire. That the closer they got to it, it got hotter and hotter. You ever burn leaves at your house or burn a brush pile and sometimes it gets so hot you can't even get close to it? You got to get 20 feet away from it just to even be able to see it. The fire got hotter. And when they got thrown in, though, God took care of them. So whatever you got going on, you need to know, the Bible says they were up walking around. They were with Jesus. They were with Jesus. They knew they were in the fire, but they also knew they were protected. So you need to know that when you're in a fire, you can still be protected. God loves you. He wants what's best for you. But sometimes you got to go in a fire. Amen. That's just the way it is. If you've never been in a fire, just wait. It's coming. Amen. You can't make it out of this world without it. We all do stupid stuff. A lot of times we get thrown in the fire because of our own fault. I know I have, because of my own stupidity, you know. But hang on to God, because I promise you, He will hang on to you. And when you land in the fire, like wherever you're at right now, know that Jesus is there. Sister, we know, we're praying for you in Sunday school that you've, you know, got tests coming up and you're battling breast cancer and you've done it before through the help of God and you've got tests coming up again. Whatever the outcome is, know that God's right with you in that fire. There's others in this room that have stuff going on, big, serious stuff going on in your life. You might feel like you're in the fire or right on the edge. Jesus loves you. And if you hang on to Him, He will hang on to you. Jenny, will you sing The More I Seek You for invitation? If everyone would stand. Bow.